Well, good morning, everybody. So I'll be talking about this project where we basically try to set thresholds for using soil moisture sensors in celery. And those are soil water potential sensors. Most of you guys know when we talk about irrigation scheduling, we're looking at basically deciding when to irrigate and how much to irrigate. For both, we use field experiences, and we try to use some sensors for when to start the water and also to calculate how much water to apply for the crops. The main reason why, in my opinion, irrigation scheduling is challenging is because of these huge variations we observe here in the reference evapotranspiration that are mostly driven by ups and downs in solar radiation, wind speed, relative air humidity, temperature. It is hard to keep track of that. So when you're in the field and you want to determine how much to irrigate, it's really hard to do that without any sensors or any, for example, weather stations that will quantify that ET. We have developed this software that's called CropManage, and this software basically helps with the tapping into a network of weather stations and get that reference evapotranspiration, and we change the crop coefficient based on the development of the canopy, and the software makes recommendations for water and nitrogen also based on not only these parameters here, but based on crop growth models that we created from previous seasons, which include the canopy and root development and nitrogen uptake. So this helps us answering the answer for how much water to apply in every irrigation. But when it comes down to when, what's the right time to put the water, the guidelines for using soil moisture sensors is not really well defined. Excuse me. If you look at the literature, most of the research papers are from 10 to 20, maybe 30 years ago, like this one in here, and they're measuring they're trying to quantify the ideal soil water potential to start irrigation in celery based on the indirect measurements. So they're mostly field surveys looking at irrigation patterns and quantification of soil water potential. Other studies, or this study here, actually did a direct measurement, but most of the water received for the season was actually through rainfall, and they only reached the desirable threshold a couple times. So we designed this experiment in here, and we're lucky enough not to have any rainfall during the season. So we set up four different thresholds, and every time the soil water potential reached that threshold, pointed out by the green arrow here, would start the irrigation. Those arrows indicate the irrigation events, and those are the treatments, basically a minus 20, 30, 40, and 50 kilopascals, and we call them T20, T30, T40, and T50. So this threshold in here for T20 was minus 20 kilopascal, and for T30 was minus 30, and so on. That was set at 8 inches depth. And the irrigation amount for every irrigation were calculated with the reference evapotranspiration and the crop coefficient of the crop adjusted by the the canopy development. And we also added 30% leaching fraction in order to make sure that the water applications were enough to saturate that sensor and the soil profile. So we had four reps with randomized complete block design. So this is the experiment where we had 1, 2, 3, and 4 blocks, all the treatments in it. When you look at the plot, so this is a plot right here. Each plot comprised of three beds, and all the sensors were installed within the center, within the center 20 feet of the center bed. And also, this is where we harvested the data for yields and quality. So there were two plant rows per bed. They're 40 inches bed, or about 1 meter. The drip tape door was in the center of each bed between those two plants. This was done in the fall of 2017, and the soil type was a Camarillo sandy loam soil. The soil sensor used was the Hortal TX4. They were installed at 8 and 18 inches depth, and the actionable depth, the depth that we were setting that threshold, was 8 inches. So I'll be showing the results here by treatment. This is the soil water potassium graphs. This is the threshold we aimed for. And we often got above the threshold in several situations here because of the Santa Ana winds. I don't know if you guys heard of it, but the Santa Anas are easterly, fast, dry, and warm winds in Southern California. And this is, you guys probably heard of the Thomas fires that happened there. So this was, this experiment actually happened during the Thomas fire, and it was really hard to control, to keep soil moisture down during those warm and dry winds. For all those graphs, I'll be showing some statistics in here, basically the average of the soil water potassium, the average of the driest, which means the driest the soil water potassium got before the irrigation. So all the tops in here, if you average them, that'll be the value right there. And the average irrigation frequency, in this case, 4 days. And then moving on to 30 centibars, this is the graph. We had an average of 5.7 days between irrigations. T40 showing an average of 7 days between irrigations. And T50, minus 50 kilopascals, showing an average of 9.2 days between irrigations. This graph is to illustrate the contrast between the T20 and T40. Although you may think that it's not a huge difference, but when actually it's not a huge difference when we look at what's been done in the field, in fields that have not, that don't use the sensors. Often what we see is early in the season, this is the soil water potassium is very high, and then it moves to really low later in the season, reaching 60, 80, 100 kilopascals, or minus those values. This is the cumulative irrigation, basically showing that the water use is very, very similar, except for T20 and T30 early in the season received more irrigation than we planted. That was a mistake, where the water is supposed to be cut earlier, and it wasn't. And but since we're applying 30% extra to the ET values, I really don't believe that actually affected the results. But we're able to catch up with irrigation later just to make sure they receive the same amount for T30, T40, and T50. So this is data for the harvest measurements. And I just want to point out that what we measured was a total and marketable yields, marketable number of marketable plants, stem length, plant height, petiole piffness, total and marketable plant weight. So that's the weight for an individual plants. You can see that most of those measurements presented differences that were statistically significant, except for the stem length and the petiole piffness. So let's go over some of this data, and I'll show them in graphs. This is the graph for marketable yield, where this Well, we have the pounds per 20 feet. So those two rows of celery in 20 feet, we harvest them. We graded them for market. And this is the weight that we got. I like these graphs because they show the distribution of the data, where you see the first quartile, the third quartile, and the upper and lower limits with the mean in here, and some statistics in here showing the significance of the differences. So harvesting other celery trials, I would expect I'll get everything kind of sort of like this, but we did get some really consistency at T20 and T50. It's really hard to say that it's going to be a curve like this or like this. I'll expect it to be a gradual decrease in yield with a gradual decrease in soil water potential. This is marketable plant weight, again presenting the same trend. This is plant height, also presenting the same trend. Plant height decreasing with decreasing soil water potential. This is patio piffness. We measured it from 0 to 4, where 0 is no piffness, and 4 means a lot of piffness or in most plants. So all the grades were between 0 and 1, so basically that was not statistically different and really didn't affect the quality of the celery. I believe that the quality or piffness will actually happen when you reach maybe 80, 100 centibars for a couple times. It depends on how often also you're kept on those soil water potentials. Just to rule out that the irrigation treatments didn't affect nitrogen, we measured nitrogen content and also phosphorus and potassium in every plot, and those are averages for all these treatments, and they're very similar. Same thing for soil mineral nitrogen. There are some differences, but they're mostly compatible. Soil EC, pH, phosphorus, and potassium are also quite similar. So in summary, decreasing soil water potential from -20 to -50 kilopascals reduced the marketable celery yield by 90%. Patio piffness did not increase with decreasing soil water potassium from -20 to -50 kilopascals. And I believe that increasing irrigation frequency can help with reducing celery water stress. So with this, I'd like to acknowledge the cooperating growers, mostly Danny Pereira with Real Farms, the California Celery Research and Advisory Board for sponsoring the work, and Hortal for providing financial support with equipment and technical support. With that, I'll take any questions if there's time or comments. Yes, John?
The typical way is ET-based schedules for celery, is it?
No, they mostly go based on they run for a certain number of hours, and that's usually I did some other trials comparing ET with what they do, and most of the times, actually, the water uses the same. It's just that they run the water for much longer, and it gets a lot drier. But it's based on their experience. They don't use ET.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you did an ET put out comparison between you mentioned ET, but you didn't do a comparison between
different
irrigation and sense-based irrigation.
Between the ET and what?
And the soil moisture.
Oh, and the soil moisture. Well, this approach in here used both, right? The soil moisture to tell when to start the water, and the ET base to tell how much to irrigate. But we did add 30% on the ET to make sure we reach the saturation for every irrigation. However, I don't believe that the KC values are up to date for salary. They were developed 30 years ago, and this is something we're trying to address at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
True, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Yes.
So you mentioned that it's in sandy soil, right?
It's sandy loam, yeah.
Okay, sandy loam. Okay. Usually, when you got put more water, you got the nutrient leaching. But look at your data, it's like no difference.
Right. We're applying nitrogen almost every week or every other week at a time. At times, mm-hmm. And we're using mostly CAN-17, which has some ammonium to it. Mm-hmm.